Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. It's our statement of faith and who we are. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude. Even in a world filled with noise and worry, we pause to remember that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Thank you, Lord, for the simple blessings we so easily overlook, for the breath in our lungs, for the people who love us, for the strength to work, for the beauty of another sunrise that reminds us that your mercies are new every morning. We confess, Lord, that we are not always thankful. Too often we focus on what's missing instead of what's present, on what we lack instead of what we have. Forgive us for hearts that complain instead of praise. Teach us to see your hand at work even in the small things, to trust your goodness even when life seems uncertain. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to our nation, for the freedoms we enjoy, for the opportunities we have, and the hope that endures even in difficult times. We pray for our leaders, that you would give them wisdom and humility. We pray for peace in our cities, for compassion among our people, and for unity in the place of division. We remember those who today find it hard to be thankful. Those facing sickness, loss, or loneliness. Remind them that you are near to the brokenhearted and that your grace is enough for every need. May gratitude flow from their lips, not just this Thanksgiving season, but in every season. Help us to be thankful in the ordinary and the extraordinary, in plenty and in need, in joy and in sorrow, for you are good and your love endures forever. So today we offer you our thanks, our worship, and our lives. May our thankful hearts bring you glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. Again, reminder, tonight at 6 o'clock, is that right? We're going to be having a special service. We're going to be worshiping together. And there's going to be 22. So many people being baptized tonight. How cool is that? Amen. People that come to faith. And we're going to do what we do every year at this time. We're going to have a special prayer for people just for healing, grace, and protection. We're getting ready to enter the season of flu and colds, which can be quite miserable, sometimes even life-threatening. And we're going to anoint you and pray for healing, grace, and protection. For those of you who want that, come tonight. We will be blessing you with oil and praying God's healing grace over you during this time. You mean that means I definitely won't get a cold? I don't know, but we're going to pray if you do, it won't get so bad. All right? It just not that many years ago, we saw what just even a cold bug could do to people as we went through that whole COVID thing. So our trust is in the Lord. Come tonight for healing grace and prayer. And everybody said, amen. Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you about the power of a thankful heart. We're in the season of Thanksgiving, and we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians, starting at chapter 5, verse 16 through 8. Paul writes these words, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Every year, we as Americans pause on one special day called Thanksgiving. We carve the turkey, we pass out the stuffing, and we thank God for our blessings. Then 24 hours later, we rush out the door for Black Friday deals. Its sense of gratitude has a very short shelf life. But the Bible tells us Thanksgiving isn't meant just to be a holiday. It's meant to be a habit for the Christian. We should be living in a state of gratefulness for all things. Paul writes, give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. That means we give thanks when the job is good, and when we lose the job, we give thanks. When your health is strong, we give thanks. When it's doing very difficult and getting shaky, we still give thanks. When you're laughing or crying, thankfulness still fits. Gratitude is God's will. It's not a suggestion. Notice Paul's wording here. He says, this is God's will for you. People often ask, what's God's will for my life? Well, here's one clear answer. Be thankful. And try not to get too caught up in looking at God's will in terms of what you should do, what your job should be, and where your house should be, what you should do for a living, all these different things. As you read the New Testament, you will discover that God's will has much more to do with the kind of person you should be and much less with what you do. People, when it comes to the will of God, get very obsessed. God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And if you're young, you're coming through, getting ready to graduate from high school, going into college, whatever the deal, oh, I need God's will for my life. What should I do? What should I do? God's will is Christ in you, the kind of person you should be. And listen, if God has something really special for you, he has a way of directing you to it. Think about you as parents. If your kids come to you and say, Dad, Mom, what do you want me to do? Do you sit there quietly and wait for them to cry out in front of your face, oh, Mama, oh, Daddy, what do you want? No, you have no problem with that. You tell them what to do. Quite frankly, the problem isn't that. The problem is you tell them and they don't do it. That's the problem. Just like God is a father to us in the same way. If he wants you to do something, he'll let you know. Don't get obsessed by that. So, well, should I work at Burger King or McDonald's? He doesn't care. All right? That's not his will. He wants to know what kind of person you are. Are you a thankful person? Are you a loving person? Are you a grateful? Are you a person walking in righteousness and serving God, loving other people, reflecting the love of God to the world around you? That's the will of God. What job you do is not of that great importance to him. Honestly, if it was, he would let you know. For some people, it is. God has a way of clearly directing you. He'll open doors for you that nobody can shut. Stuff you wouldn't expect. All of a sudden, boom. I wonder if God wants me to get a new job. Here's one way. You lose the old one. There's a clue. But no, we panic and freak. Don't get obsessed by that stuff. Focus on what God wants you to be, not so much on what he wants you to do. Because he said, this is God's will for you. Paul says, be thankful, because gratitude keeps our hearts soft towards God. Ungratefulness blinds us. Thankfulness opens our eyes. It's like for those of us who wear glasses, and your glasses, lenses get dirty. Everything's cloudy. Or you look, you clear it up. All of a sudden, wow, I can see again. The same thing is true with God. Thankfulness keeps us seeing clearly what God is doing in our lives. When you choose to be grateful, you see God's fingerprints in everyday life. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you can choose your attitude for tomorrow today by determining the kind of attitude you'll have and by being thankful. And gratitude is not based on how you feel. It's a decision to trust that God is good even when life isn't. Let's face it, sometimes life is just awful. That's why this is in heaven, all right? You know, you hear non-Christians say, I think heaven's here on earth. Really? Sucks to be you, because this is not an easy place to be. Life can be very difficult and very challenging, but in the midst of that, God is always on our side. God loves you, but the world, the flesh, and the devil hate you. This is why the scripture says we should put on the armor of God. It's a great analogy. I mean, who wears armor? You only wear armor, you know, of course we think of, you know, in the analogies like helmet and those. But even today, if you wear body armor, why does anyone wear body armor? Because someone might shoot you. If you're going to the park, you don't have to wear body armor. If you're going to the movies, you probably don't have to wear a body. If someone's out there shooting people, you might want to put some of that on. Especially if you're a first responder walking into that situation. We're supposed to wear armor. Why? Because the world and the flesh and the devil hate you. Stuff's going to come at you. Don't be shocked. The Bible says don't be shocked by the trials you're going through as if something strange is happening to you. Which is exactly what people do, right? We go through a hard time. We're shocked. Oh my goodness, why is this happening? It's not because God hates you. It's just the world, the flesh, and the devil that we live in. We trust God in the midst of this, but we need to wear the armor of God on us. And you can do that partly by being grateful and always conscious of God in your life. Gratitude shifts our focus from problems to promises. Think about Israel in the wilderness. I mean, what an incredible thing, right? Moses comes, let my people go. All these miracles, all these things start happening. And finally, Pharaoh says, okay, go. And they come out and the Red Sea splits and they walk over on dry land. And they don't have to worry about food every morning. There's manna on the ground. It just comes out of nowhere. You know, God took care of them. The Bible says for 40 years while they were in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never. They wore the same thing for 40 years because nothing wore out. God was blessing them constantly. And you know what they did? They bellyached. They complained. They grumbled. As a result, God left them in the wilderness for 40 years. It was more like a 10-day journey to the promised land. 40 years. Why? Because they wouldn't stop complaining. Grumbling shrinks faith. Gratitude grows it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with, that's a big with, thanksgiving, present your request to God. That word with thanksgiving is crucial. Prayer without gratitude just becomes a list of complaints. Oh, God, my kids are driving me crazy. Oh, Lord, my husband's possessed of the devil. Oh, Lord, my mother's coming. My mother-in-law's coming over. You just start complaining. That's not prayer. That's whining and bellyaching. All right? Now, you can take your request to God and ask him for stuff, but be thankful. It says do it with a thankful heart, with thanksgiving. Because some of the troubles you have no idea. God uses that stuff in your life. And it doesn't become clear often until later. You know, I was reading Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if you guys know who she is, especially younger people have no idea, but this is a lady who lived through the Holocaust, Nazi Germany. She was in a concentration camp. Miraculously, she lives through the whole experience. But one of the miseries, because, you know, we've all seen the movies, you know, Schindler's List and stuff. This was a horrible time for people. They were tortured and murdered and beaten and just, it was awful. And to add insult to injury, as if it wasn't hard enough, she said the cabin that she was in was infested with fleas, irritating fleas. Look at all these fleas. How come we got fleas? How come nobody else got fleas? But then she learned to be thankful. God, thank you for the fleas. Later she found out the reason the Germans didn't come into her cabin was because of all the fleas. So she makes it through, right? The very thing that seemed like a curse at the time was the blessing that protected her. When you can't change your circumstances, change your focus. You can thank God not for the storm you're in, but that he's in the boat with you. Gratitude invites God's presence into your life. Psalm 22 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. When you praise God, you make room for him to move in your life. Here's in the gospel, Luke we read about the 10 lepers. Chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, Samaria, you have a big history, Old Testament history, but you know, you had the 12 tribes of Israel. Eventually, the bulk of them became the nation of Israel. And there was another group just of the tribe of Judah. Well, Israel became so corrupt, and I'm talking bad, bad, bad corrupt. And they would like burn their children and worship their demigods. I mean, this is crazy stuff. They weren't just like a bad attitude. They were wicked and doing horrible, horrible things and building altars to these false gods and these devils. And everything God had told them to avoid, they did it. And eventually judgment comes in and just devastates the nation of Israel. To this day, it's hard to really find specific tribes that they, I don't know if anybody's working on, they must be, but there's one tribe that lasted through it all. It was the tribe of Judah. It's why they're referred to as the Jews. And Judah, that's where Jesus was born, in the tribe of Judah, in Bethlehem. And so the Jews considered themselves very blessed. They stayed faithful to God, even though they had their issues as well. But at the end, they stayed faithful to God. But the Israelites didn't. And they intermarried with nations, which they shouldn't have done. Anyway, they were called the Samaritans. So you got Samaria, and then you got the Jews. So Jesus is traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee, where the Jews are. And the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They were kind of like half-breeds, and they're kind of icky, you know, and they weren't, you know, they had a really bad attitude about them. Anyway, as he's going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Strange request. They got nothing else to do. Okay. So they went to go show themselves to the priest. You know, he was thinking, I'm sure they were thinking, how come you just don't speak and make us go away, right? Not only do we complain about God not answering our prayers, he doesn't answer the way we want him to answer it. That's what these guys did, you know. But they went anyway. And as they're going, they all were healed. You can imagine the shock. I mean, all this leprous skin turns into fresh, new, healthy skin. They were healed. Jesus didn't lay his hands on them. He didn't speak anything. He just said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." On their way, boom, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And the Bible points out specifically, and he was a Samaritan, one of these icky people that they didn't look very highly upon. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Were the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" That's how they refer to the Samaritans. And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." All 10 were healed. Only one came back to give thanks to Jesus. Gratitude doesn't just acknowledge what God has done. It deepens our relationship with him. You know, it's like when you do something nice for someone and they're very grateful. And then you do something nice for other people and they don't say, "Jack, who are you more inclined to give stuff to in the future?" The thankful people. And God is no different. The reason why a lot of people aren't very blessed is they're not really thankful for the blessings they've already gotten. Gratitude guards the heart. Now, Paul tells us to be grateful, and then he connects gratitude with peace. Philippians 4:7, he says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." Some of you struggling this morning with your minds and just all the stuff going on in your head. He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you thank God in the middle of chaos, you build a wall of peace around your heart and your mind. Because worry and worship can't live in the same space. The one will push the other out. If you're stressing with worry, we've been talking about this over the last month, learn to be grateful. Thank God. Praise God. You say, well, it's nothing but a bunch of fleas. Thank God for their fleas. All right? You don't know how this is all going to work out. It'll push that stuff away from you, and you will guard your heart and your mind. Are you feeling stressed and worried? Try being genuinely grateful for the blessings in your life. This next one, gratitude is contagious. This is a great one. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is the password into God's presence. And when you live that way, other people notice. People are drawn to grateful people. And one of the best testimonies you can have and witness to other people is of being a grateful person. People who are grateful and thankful, they stand out. You know, and you have a great opportunity because, you know, I can be grateful. I am grateful. I don't really have that much impact on my neighbors because they all know I'm a pastor. As soon as people know you're, you should see people. A lot of times I don't even want to tell them. I'll say, treat you weird. You know, ooh, he's a pastor. And, you know, they're real careful not to say anything wrong. And if you're happy, they, well, he has to. This is a job, you know. And it doesn't happen. But when you have no reason like that, you're not a pastor, and you're grateful and smiling, people really see that. It has an impact on them. People say, I wish I knew more about the Bible so I could talk to people around me. I wish I was a pastor. So I'll tell you what, your greatest impact, if people know you're a pastor, is not that you're a pastor. It actually holds you back. People expect things when you are a pastor. When you aren't and you're still grateful and thankful, that really speaks to people. It's a great way. What if this Thanksgiving season, your joy becomes an opportunity for someone else to find Jesus? Gratitude is evangelism wrapped in joy. So we need to cultivate a thankful heart. Remember your daily blessings. Take note of anything good in your life. And speak gratitude out loud. There's no way I had another 10 minutes and 28 seconds on that clock. Y'all gonna be here a long time. It's not an hour and 28, is it? Anyway. I just keep going. I assume it's time to wrap up. Here we go. Remember your daily blessings. Take note of good things in your life. And speak gratitude out loud. Say it out loud. Let people know. Thank you for what you do. Tell your spouse, thank you for what you do. Tell your wife, thank you for everything you do for me and the kids. Be grateful. Tell your coworkers, I appreciate you. Tell your kids, I'm proud of you. So, well, they know it. No, they don't. You got to say it. It's like the idiot who said, ask him, how come you never tell your wife you love her? Yeah, well, I told her I loved her once. If anything changes, I'll let you know. You know, now, say it. Speak gratitude. And then practice thankful prayer. Begin every prayer with thank you, God, before you ask for anything. And then be a generous person. Gratitude that doesn't give becomes a greed. Find a way to bless someone this week. And the greatest reason of all to be thankful is for what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Because of the cross, our sins are forgiven. Because of his resurrection, our hope is secure. Because of his spirit, we are never alone. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God gave his son for you, you can trust him with everything else. So in conclusion, let's be people who don't wait for blessings to overflow us before we say thanks. Let's say thanks in advance. Even if all is surrounding you right now are irritating fleas, be people who are grateful. Rejoice always, Paul said, pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. That is the power of a thankful heart. And now we're going to celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us right now as we take communion together. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And we're supposed to remember this when we take the bread and the wine, thinking about the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. But the Bible says before we do this, we should pause and examine our own hearts. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads in prayer as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did, Lord, this week that we shouldn't have done, merely something we should have done, but for some reason we just didn't do it. If we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, if we've been ungrateful people, we pray, have mercy on us and forgive us of our sins. Strengthen us in your goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never really experienced what you guys are talking about. You can right now. In your own words, just whisper out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And you'll sense his presence and his power come into your heart. Lift the weight of the world off of you as he sets everything right between you and him. Amen.